How are you? It's a good week, right? Somebody said blessed. It was a good week in weather, huh? Amen? It was nice. Amen. Anybody get the kiddie pools out? Right? We did. I didn't get in it because can you imagine? It was Saturday night, all the people coming into prayer. Hey, Pastor Harris. Oh, what you doing in the kiddie pool? Next week. Amen. Hey, it's good to see you. I'm glad that you're here. My name's Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And I cannot believe it. It has been wonderful weather. And this is the first Sunday of August. I can't believe how fast summer has gone so far. Can you? It's 3 weeks till school starts. And all the parents said, hallelujah! No, glory! I love my kids, but oh my goodness. Get away from the video games and the Cheetos. Right? Oh, so much Mountain Dew is consumed every summer. So much. Amen. There's no summer for us workers, huh? Right? All these kids, they get summer off. We don't get no summer off, right? We just go to work when it's hotter. That's all we do. Amen. But it's flown by. I hope you've had an awesome summer so far. And if you haven't, don't worry. We still have 3 weeks. Make it good. Make it a good summer. Amen? So last month, July, was about our 3G method. A 3G method is our central vision. It is our mission. It is everything. It's central to everything we do here in ministry at First Open Bible. We are what? We're grounded in the... Amen. We are growing in... And we're going to... Amen. We're grounded in the Word. We're growing in discipleship, and we're going to serve. This month, August, our theme is compassion. Amen? Compassion. If you had a bulletin today, you saw the theme for anybody else. See, when we look at the definition of something, sometimes the best way to define it is by using the opposite of what it is. So what is the opposite of compassion? What is an antonym or some antonyms of compassion? I listed a few of them. Heartlessness. A lack of concern. Or uninvolved in or uninvolved with. The opposite of compassion. We find in the Gospels that Jesus was spoken about or even defined as someone who was moved with compassion. Amen? Something came upon Jesus and he was moved with compassion. He looked upon them with compassion. He looked upon her with compassion. He had compassion for them, for they appeared to be sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the sick. He saw the broken. He saw the poor. He saw the hurting. He saw the lost. He saw the swindled. He saw the widowed. He saw the orphaned, he even saw the demon-possessed, and he was moved to do something about it. Jesus is our example for all things about the kingdom of God. Amen? You want to see what the kingdom of God is about? You look at Jesus. What would Jesus do, what did Jesus actually do? Right? Jesus was a blessing. Right? Somebody said that. How are you doing today? I'm blessed, right? That's in the South, that's what everybody says. We live in Arkansas for a while. How you doing today? I'm blessed. Right? I just saw you yell at somebody like a second ago. You're not a little frustrated? No, I'm blessed. Okay, all right. You know, 5 minutes ago, you might have said something different. Oh, I'm blessed. It's just like a standard thing they say, right? Or you say, how you doing today? I'm doing good. Are you really? Are you really doing good? Or is that just something you say, right? I love it when people, you say, how you doing today? Well, I'm all right. Thank you for the honest answer, because I asked you how you were doing. Not just saying hi, right? But we are blessed, amen? Right? Don't just let that be a standard of something that you just say, let it be truth that reigns in your life. Be blessed. Jesus was a blessing to everyone he came in contact with. Everyone. His godly compassion moved his heart, it moved his hands, and it moved his mouth, and it changed the world forever. I'll preach quiet. You want me to preach quiet? Okay. this morning I want to preach, okay? Being blessed for compassion. Praise God. Praise God. This ain't no library, church. We got some books in here. It's called the Bible, but this ain't no library. This morning I want to preach on being blessed for compassion. Jesus, through his mother Mary, was a descendant of King David. If you go back further in the lineage and you go back to the descendants of Jesus, Jesus was also a descendant of Abram. God changed Abram's name when he was 99 years old to what? Say like you know it. Abraham. Abraham means a father of many nations. God chose to start the beginning of a nation with one man named Abraham. So God could do what? So he could bless the whole world. God told Abraham not only would his ancestors be blessed, but that the descendants would bless all the nations of the world. Through Abraham's bloodline, Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Through Jesus and through his life and his sacrifice and his salvation is available to everyone. 9 says this, "For all of you who have been baptized in Christ have been clothed yourself, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Have you ever heard this saying before? We are blessed to be a blessing. You heard that before? If you heard that before, raise your hand. Blessed to be a blessing. So I was studying this week, and I was studying about blessings, and I was studying about God's word and what it says about blessings, and I think I found the root of that saying. Yeah, you ever realize we say some goofy stuff, right? I said the other day to Pastor Cody, I said, tonight I'm going to sleep like a baby. Really? You're going to get up every 2 hours, cry, and wet yourself? Like, well, why do you even say that, right? I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. I'm going to wake up restless and angry and hungry, and there's going to be a mess in my bed, and I'm just going to make everybody mad in the house. Okay. I'd rather sleep like a log, right? Right? Be careful what you say, church, because your words have power. And sometimes you just say dumb things. Sleep like a baby. I hope nobody says that anymore, right? I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. Okay, cool. Maybe you got bladder problems. I don't know. That's cool. I'll pray for that. All right. Amen. But I think I found the root of the saying, we are blessed to be a blessing. I found it 3 times in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. See, God is talking to Abraham, and he says this, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." And then I found it in Genesis, if I went 6 more chapters, Genesis chapter 18, verse 18 says, "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him." Then I go 4 more chapters in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, and it says, "And through your descendants," God's talking to him, "all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Isn't that awesome? Blessed to be a blessing. Put them on speaker. They got to hear this. They got to be blessed today by God's word. Amen. Everybody, nobody wants to be that guy, right? That's my phone. Everybody else went, oh. Make sure. Right? Don't let Pastor see me right now. No, I remember, Pastor. I'm good. all the families on earth will be blessed through Abraham and his descendants. Why is this so important? Because we, Gentiles, if you're a Gentile, that means you're not a Jew and you're not an Israeli, which I believe all of us. You might have a little bit of Jewish descent, but if you're mixed at all, you are not a Jew. You're a Gentile. So us Gentiles have been grafted into all the blessings and all the inheritance that God's chosen people have. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was moved with compassion. And he died and he rose and he blessed even the Gentiles, us, with eternal salvation and made a way for us to be joint heirs in all of God's promises and all of God's covenants. Romans chapter 11, verse 17, Paul is teaching us something very important here, and he says, but some of these branches of Abraham's seed, or tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. And you Gentiles, right, he's preaching to us, who were branches from a wild olive tree. Man, I know some of you personally. This is truth. You are from a wild olive tree. There ain't no question about it, right? And it says, this is super important, and you have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. Come on, that deserves an amen. Man, we don't already deserve salvation because sin has separated us. We basically spit in God's face and said, I have a better way, that I don't really care what you've done. But then Jesus comes and he saves us. He says that you don't even have to sin anymore. I will set you free from it. And then God doesn't stop there. See, salvation is not where it stops. It's where it starts. Then he says, I'm going to graft you in. I'm going to graft you into the lineage that I'm blessing the whole world with. I've grafted you in. Not only do you get all the blessings as you're my son or daughter, but also all the covenants that has always been given to the Jewish descent, the Israelites, and all these people, you now also have. You are a joint heir, right? Not error, right? I don't care what anybody said to you, right? Let's break that curse of being an error. You're an heir. You're an heir. What does that mean? That means that, okay, for example, my family, two of us are born by blood and two are adopted. When my parents pass away, I will not get any more than my adopted siblings. We are all heirs to my parents. We are all together. It's even. It's even, right? We are heirs to all that God has. Because of what Jesus has done, because he was moved with compassion and he died for us. That is incredible. That is amazing. So when you read the book called the Bible and you see all the promises God gives to God's chosen people, you've been grafted into that, right? You've been grafted into that. It's incredible. Incredible. Because of Jesus' compassion and through his life, his death, and his resurrection, church, we are blessed for compassion. We are blessed to be a blessing. God's children are called to bless everyone they live around. Everyone. The Bible says this. All the families on earth, all the nations on earth will be blessed because of God's family. The world is blessed because of us, church. Who are we to judge who we will bless and who we won't bless? When God says all the nations, all people should be blessed through us, who are we to judge, right? Just because you like them better? Just because you get along with them more? Just because you relate to them, we want to bless them. But God says all people will be blessed through us. Everybody. All of them. We are blessed for compassion. We cannot be spoiled hoarders anymore. We must be blessed for compassion. We must do something about being God's child. We must do something about being a joint heir. We must do something about being a descendant of Abraham. This Saturday, we're handing out 450 backpacks. Do you know how much that costs? a minimum of $9,000 to families in need. And praying for each and every family that comes through. And what do we pray? Our main thing is what? Pastor Sonny, tell them. We pray for God's what? You better say blessing. Oh, come on now. You've been listening. God. Amen, Pastor Sonny. We pray God's blessing to be upon them. Every single kid, that's what we pray for. Every single family, we pray God's blessing to be upon them. We go and we say, listen, I don't know where you're at, but we're a church and we're blessed because we have people that give. We're blessed and we want to bless you. And we pray a blessing over your family. We pray that the kids not only have a good school year, they make lots of friends, they won't be bullied, and they'll succeed and be the top of their class in all things. We pray for blessings upon them. We pray that God would intervene in things. We pray for angels to protect them. We pray for blessings to be upon them. Amen? We don't want these people coming back every single year. We want these people to be so blessed that they can bless somebody else and we can bless somebody else, right? I want a new 450 next year. I want all these people to be blessed, and God touches them through our blessings and blesses them, and something happens where they're so blessed they can bless other families. A majority of the people this year are African refugees. That's awesome. You come from a land where your family's getting murdered and killed, and you don't know if the next day you're going to live. You still have family over there. You come, you don't even maybe speak very good English, or maybe you don't know anything at all. You come, and maybe a lot of these people do know church, because Africa is very churched, but not all of them. They come, and then they come to this church, they come here, and there's these people, these Americans, laying hands on them, handing them backpacks for free, and praying a blessing over their family. That is how the church blesses the entire world. Amen? All the families on earth, all the nations on earth will be blessed because of God's family. Amen. And then when you do these 450 backpacks, we come at 9 a.m. and we're praying for people and we're doing stuff. And then right after that, we go to Redmond Park. We're going to be joining two other churches to bless a community of hurting people. We come together. We don't care what color you are. We don't care your background. I don't care your social status. I don't care if you're a liberal or conservative. I don't care if you vote Republican or Democrat. I don't care. All I care about is I'm here to bless you because God has blessed me. That's why I'm here. And you're going to be blessed today because I'm God's chosen. I am God's child, and I'm here today to bless you. And I don't know what God's going to put in front of us. I don't know if I'm just going to pray for you. I don't know if I'm going to hand you a hot dog or a hamburger. I don't know if I'm going to do some face paint. Oh, I do know. I'm probably not going to do that, but somebody else might, right? And I might throw a frisbee with you. I might hang out. I might just pray over you or whatever it is. Or I'll just tell you how beautiful and how wonderful that God thinks that you are. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that I'm going to be able to bless people because I'm blessed. Because I'm a child of God. And that's all I know what to do because God has called me to do this. I'm blessed for compassion. Why does this all matter? Because all the nations of the world will be blessed because of God's family. Now, blessing others is easier said than done. Amen? Now, I got five people who tell truth. All right? Blessing others is easier said than done. Amen? That's truth. That's truth. If it weren't truth, all the world, there would be no such thing as hunger in the world. If every church, everybody in church would give 10% like God calls us to tithe, and then anything above that is a blessing, you know, we give to God. If we'd all do that in every church, there'd be no such thing as world hunger because we'd be blessed for compassion. We'd go all places and do all that we can in all the world. That's a stat that came out years ago. That's why we cannot be spoiled hoarders. We must be blessed for compassion. Blessing others is easier said than done. Sometimes it's hard to do the right thing and have the right mindset to bless others, especially when we feel like we live in a pagan, evil Babylon. Lately, living in America feels a lot like living in Babylon. How do you say that? I say this, because all kinds of shrines, idols, and pagan rituals are lifted higher than Yahweh. It's exactly what happened in Babylon. And they felt like they're captives. They were set there and they didn't know what to do. We need some more Daniels rising up, amen? Come on, Danielettes. Get better, and God will change your name because that doesn't sound very nice. Ask him to do it before you're 99, right? Abram had a lot longer. He didn't have McDonald's back then. All right. All kinds of things in this country are being lifted higher than Yahweh. But it's only a matter of time before God restores all things. No matter what it may look like, he may have to destroy all things before he rebuilds. Or he may call forth a church to rise up and spread the gospel. He may call a church, his God's chosen people, his children, to go out and to bless. And through those blessings, people come, right? And there's this absolute revival within the churches, which causes a reformation in our city and in our country. And that can happen, church. We must be blessed for compassion. We must do something about our blessings. We feel like the remnant in America serving our faithful God. But I'm reminded in God's word what Jeremiah the prophet prophesied in the Old Testament. See, the book of Jeremiah is a letter written from God's prophet to the captives in Babylon. It's a letter that speaks against false prophets, and this is what's key here, and against a false belief system. God gives instructions through Jeremiah in how we, God's people, the Jews and now grafted in Gentiles, should live. And what life should look like no matter how bad our Babylon may get. Please open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29. And no, we're not just going to read 11 and stamp it on everything. Right? Don't take God's word. You know, God's word is a full meal. Right? It's not just one chicken nugget. A lot of people just pull nuggets out of God's word and, oh, I'm going to live like that. What did the whole context say? Right? You hungry all the time because all you do is eat a nugget every once in a while. Man, eat the whole meal. Read the whole thing. Jeremiah 29. It's in the Old Testament. This is a prophet, Jeremiah. He's preaching and he's teaching. He's not captive, but he's sending it off to the captives. God's chosen people who feel trapped and have these wrong mindsets. And then there's these prophets that are coming in. They're teaching all these wicked ways, telling you this is how you should live, and this is what you should do, and this is how you're supposed to be. And they say it's in God's name, but it's not. I relay with Jeremiah. He's the what kind of prophet? What's his nickname? Right? And some of y'all call me the what? Weeping pastor. Come on now. I haven't cried yet. Man, sometimes the Spirit of God just comes upon you and you don't know what else to do than just cry. You're just like, oh, Lord, who am I that I can feel this and hear you? Wow. You just, amen. Jeremiah 29, we're going to read verses 4 through 14. And if you opened a Bible in front of you, it's the NLT, and that's what I'm going to read from. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Verse 5. Now, you got to listen. This is what God says. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so they may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. Woo! We're not even to number 11 yet, right? Verse 8. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. You know what that is? That's media. That's news. That's movies. That's secular school. Right? Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I'll bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and bring you home again to your own land. Amen. Go back to verse 7 real quick. I want to highlight that real fast. And work for peace and prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, and its welfare will determine your welfare. Let me summarize what we just read. Build homes, church. Build homes. Or rent, right? Rent, build, live here. Plant your roots here, stay. Plant gardens and eat its fruit, its food. Marry and have kids. Help your kids get married and then have lots of grandkids. Multiply, do not dwindle away. Work for peace and prosperity. Why, church? Because God's children are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed for compassion. And God's word just that we just read, the compassion you show in your city will determine your welfare. Maybe you're grumpy and maybe you're not getting a lot and maybe you're not satisfied because you're not blessing the people around you in your own city. Let's love Cedar Rapids together. Two people are with me. I'm going to say it again. Let's love Cedar Rapids together. Amen. Amen. So I realize not all of you can come this Saturday to Outreach Saturday with the backpack giveaway in Redmond Park. So I'm presenting all of us with a different opportunity this morning to bless our city with our compassion. I want to read two sections of God's word before we do something together. Romans 13:1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in a position of authority have been placed there by God. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede. What does that mean? You step in the gap for someone else. I intercede. I'm stepping in for them on their behalf and give thanks for them. I mean, just one verse and we're like, oh my goodness, just chew on that for a month. Verse 2. Pray this way for all kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Why do you pray for them, the people in authority, so we can live at peace and quiet lives with godliness and dignity? Doesn't that sound amazing? Isn't that what we all want for our family? Verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior. And last verse 4. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. We're going to do something unconventional right now. Why? Because that's how God works. Brent, will you please come up? I want to do something. So I was praying this week. Now we're going to Redmond Park, hurting people. We're giving out backpacks, people in need. Right? That's one angle to bless our city. Amen? That's one angle that we bless our city. And we're right there. That's what God tells us to do. That's what we want to do. We want to bless the ones that need to be blessed. But what we do a lot is forget about the people who are over us in authority. All nations, all people, and all families will be blessed by God's people. Amen? All of us. So this is what we're going to do. Oh, a little, little tidbit here. I don't care about your opinion, and neither does God right now. God says you honor all people. He doesn't say that you have to like them. It's truth. This is God's real word. We're so hung up on our feelings so often that I'm not going to do anything because I don't like them, or they didn't do anything for me. Well, that is the world and not God at all. If that were the case, Jesus would have never died for you. You would never be set free, and God would never give us a Bible because we don't deserve it. So I'm not asking for your opinion today. I'm asking for your honor. Amen? I'm asking you to honor today. In the name of First Open Bible, don't say First Church of the Open Bible. We've named ourselves First Open Bible, not a one with the capital F, First Open Bible. Why is that key? Because I'm going to ask you to write a letter to either our city mayor or District 5 representative who is over this section right here. These two people are above us and watch over us. And no matter your opinion of them, or if you voted for them or not, right? We're going to honor them. And God's word says, "What we bless our city, and we will be blessed." Right? This is what we're going to do. These are two people. I got everybody, I as in Sherry Pfeiffer, my secretary, got everybody a card and an envelope. And we're going to write one of these two people. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask every single person here. I got you a pen if you don't have a pen. I as in Sherry Pfeiffer again. Oh, she's going on vacation. Pray for me. Next week, I handed out crayons and some scratch paper I got from the office. But we're going to do this in just a second. We're going to hand these out, and everybody's going to get a little card and a little envelope. And you're going to do this in the name of First Open Bible. But it has to be from you. I want you to write a thank you, or a thinking of you, or I'm praying for you. Right? We just had a bunch of verses, and I hope you wrote some of them down. But in Romans 13:1, it tells us that we're supposed to submit to our governing authorities and those people in position above us. Now, I want to say this as well. As long as it doesn't go against God, you give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And we obey what they say, and even if we don't like it or not. But if it goes against God, we go to God first. And you always, just like Daniel, I'm going to pray even if you tell me not to. But he always honored the king. Always honored the king unless it went against God's word. And then 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says we're supposed to pray for all people. And those who are in authority over us, if we do this and we pray over them, we're going to live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases our Savior who wants everyone to be saved. You don't know. I'm going to send a box of around 200 letters this week to this office from First Open Bible saying, we love you, we pray for you, we stand, on Sunday morning, we thought about you, we're praying for your families, we're praying for your wisdom to help run our city and do the things that you've been called to do. We know God put you in this authority, and we lift you up now, and we pray for you. We just wanted you to know that there's a church in your city that loves you and prays for you. They're going to get a box. Let me tell you, they probably have never gotten a box like this before. But we, church, are blessed for compassion. We're blessed to be a blessing. And we're going to start from the top, and we're just going to work our way in whatever God tells us to do in this city. Because this is our city. And we're planting our roots. And we're planting gardens, and we're going to eat here. We're going to get married, and we're going to have children, and they're going to have children, and we're going to be blessed. And all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through us. Amen? So you can write one or you can write two, but please write one of these from First Open Bible. Brent's going to play, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm about to pray, and when I'm done praying, we're going to hand them out. And after we hand them out, what I want you to do is pray, write on it, put it in an envelope, and write who it is to. If it's to Brad or Ashley, Brad Hart or Ashley, or you can say Mr. Hart or Mayor Hart, just with respect and honor. And I don't know if she's married or not, so Miss She married? Anybody know? Ms. M.S. M.S. starts with a V. Vannery. She is our district person in charge of this section. Why are we writing her? I know you might live somewhere else in the city, but this is our church, and she's over our section right here in this spot. So I want you to write their name on the front of that, and we're going to send a box this week. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and what I want you to do is I want you to write it, and then I want you to come down and lay it on the altar and pray over it. Because that last thing that we read, when we bless and we love the people in authority, it says that God says it's good, and he wants everyone to know the Lord. These two people might not serve God. And through this box, it's possible. Through this blessing, they could come to know Jesus. And I think that's wonderful. They might even come visit our church. And we could say, we're so glad that you're here. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Right? We want these people in Redmond Park. We want these people that were giving out backpacks to come to our church. We should also want the people that are over us in authority to come. Everyone needs God's word. Everybody needs God's love. We might as well bless them, right? Who's with me? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, and we love you. We thank you for this awesome word. Thank you for Abraham and choosing to bless him, God, and that you grafted us in, Gentiles. Grafted us in to be blessed, to be a blessing, to be blessed for compassion, that we're going to show our heart to them. God, we might not agree with everything or every decision, but we don't agree with everyone and every decision ever. May we honor them in a way that can speak directly to where they're at. God, I pray for words of wisdom right now to come forth on paper. I pray for prophetic words to be written on paper that would speak to directly where they're at, God, just to bless them and speak over their life and let them know that this church is praying for them. I pray for their family right now. I pray for wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, may they feel your presence from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. May they know that there are people praying for them. I pray that angels go before them and fight them. I know there is all kinds of wars and spiritual going on in this city. Lord, I know there's all kinds of things that want to take over this city, but God, we claim this city to be yours because we're God's chosen people, and we are blessed, and we will bless others, and through our blessing, this city will know Jesus and be blessed. God, we call forth that right now. I thank you to help us write these letters, and I pray over this box that's going to be sent. May it be a blessing to all of them. May they get it, God. May it touch them right where they're at. If they're having a bad day, may the Spirit of the living God bring joy upon their life right then and there, instantaneous. May they know the true love of Jesus through First Open Bible and us writing with compassion. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, God's children said, amen. Go ahead and prepare them, write them, put them in the envelope, seal it, put it on the altar. We love you. When you're done with that, feel free to go. We love you so much. We'll see you soon.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy. Because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, Lord.